We're talking with Congressman Fred Upton. Before we get some of the meat and potatoes work in Washington, as this is a busy week not only for lawmakers but also for the Supreme Court, you represented the Republican Party in the official response to the president's weekly address. You touched upon some energy issues. It's not the first time you have done it. It's sort of like old routine, but still, delivering the official remarks for the Republican Party. Tell us a little bit about what goes into it. Is it Rance Priebus and his staff decide who gets it, or is it a drawing by lots, or what?
Well, it's actually there is a formal process. So we alternate between the House and the Senate. Obviously, it's the party not having the White House. So when Republicans are in, the Democrats will give the response, and when the Democrats are in, as we have now with President Obama, the Republicans give the response. So it alternates between a House and a Senate choice. So it's actually the Speaker. Speaker Boehner selects the person. So I've actually done it, I want to say, four times over the last number of years, two or three just in the last year. So this energy, or this week's the energy focus is on the front burner. Obviously, with the 4th of July coming up next week, we've got gas prices that are up and down a little bit like a yo-yo, $3.99 at the end of the week, and now they're down to about $3.60 in southwest Michigan now, $3.60, $3.65. But it puts the focus on the agenda for the House this week, and that is energy. So we're going to be talking about how we can expedite the approval of pipelines across borders, not applying to the Keystone XL pipeline. We've had that vote two or three times, but really set up a process so that there's a shot clock, that the rules, everyone knows what the rules are. And as we try to promote an energy independent North America, obviously this is a huge issue and one that should generate quite a bit of bipartisan support when we vote on it later in the week.
And, of course, situation in Iraq with the oil fields apparently captured by the insurgents just makes the efforts domestically to secure more energy even more crucial and puts more urgency into the efforts.
Well, can you imagine, had we not taken the steps that we have now, actually production on public lands, those owned by the federal government, has actually declined over the last number of years. But production on private lands, including natural gas exploration, has dramatically increased, providing a buffer from what otherwise would be real chaos in the oil markets, certainly here in the United States, not only with what's happening in Iraq and the capture of the oil field, or the oil refinery just in the last day or two, but the other very unsettling events, not only in Nigeria, but also Venezuela as well. So, one of the points that I made on Saturday was, you know, if these things continue to escalate, the world price, you know, supply and demand only goes up, we will rue the day that we didn't 6 years ago begin to the process of actually approving the Keystone XL pipeline, something that already, with other existing pipelines from Canada, brings in about 1.5 million barrels of oil every day. Can you imagine if we'd had, if we have another, in essence, safety blanket of perhaps as much as 750 to 800,000 barrels that can come by pipeline, but we've stopped it because the president has refused to make a decision as to whether that pipeline can cross the border or not.
Yeah, it's just shaking your head on that situation. And, of course, the Ukrainian situation, trying to get them natural gas and their disputes with Russia, that just adds another block to what is already a full plate in this regard.
Well, we have a lot of friends in Eastern Europe, not only Ukraine, but Poland, Lithuania, et cetera. And, you know, with what's happening with Russia, canceling contracts on natural gas, particularly to the Ukraine, seeing the prices almost double over there from what they were before, but very unsettling. And we have, again, have a bipartisan bill that's moved out of our committee that's going to be on the House floor later this week. And there's a companion piece of legislation offered by a Democrat in the Senate as well. So it really is bipartisan. But let's send the signal that, hey, we're prepared to help our friends in Eastern Europe. The Department of Energy has ruled on a number of occasions that this will not increase domestic prices on LNG gas here, liquefied natural gas here. Why not create the jobs? Why not allow this economic weapon to go forward to help our friends rather than see so many of our wells here capped? And obviously, sending in troops is not an answer that most Americans certainly do not want to see happen.
We're talking with Congressman Fred Upton, who is also the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee out of St. Joseph. And since last we chatted a couple of weeks ago, you and the NRC chairwoman, Allison McFarland, had a chance to tour both the Cook and the Palisades nuclear power plants. Palisades down over the weekend for some maintenance. And as we speak on this Tuesday, the 24th, an evening session in South Haven dealing with Palisades is planned as well. As you see the two plants, we focus mostly on Palisades because of our location and the problems. But, Cook, you can throw the Cook plant in well as there. What you and the chairwoman did see, are you pleased with the way they're progressing and trying to address operational situations at both facilities?
Well, as chair of the Energy and Commerce Committee, we have jurisdiction over a lot of things, including nuclear energy. So, obviously, right here in our backyard is the operation of both the Cook and the Palisades plant. We've had the occasion in the past to have not only the Secretary of Energy, but also a number of the Nuclear Regulatory Commissioners come by and personally view the operation, be able to talk to the NRC staff, who are resident inspectors there at the facility, 7 days a week. And this was a chance to bring the chair of the NRC to both facilities, where we had private discussions, not only with management, able to inspect the facility in a couple hour tour at each one, and also be able to have a private meeting with the NRC resident staff, who could comment on a lot of questions that we might have, as well as the regional NRC staff as well. It's imperative that both of these plants operate in a very safe way, and that that assurance, not only for the folks that are there, but obviously for the residents and, frankly, for the country. It's also imperative that the NRC have the appropriate staff to make sure that not only are they able to inspect and continue to monitor the operation of these two plants, but the other 100 plants across the country as well. So our visit 2 weeks ago was most constructive. There was a letter late last week that the NRC sent as a follow-up to the Palisades folks looking for continued improvements. But the bottom line was this, and that both operations are safe, and we want to make sure that they stay that way. And certainly for me, as chairman of the committee, we're going to insist that that be the case.
Fred, you've seen Palisades up close for a number of years. How improved is it over there in terms of how its operation's going? It is still safe to operate. The NRC says so. Energy is claimed that it has. You've seen it up close. You've talked to some of the people off the record, not off the record, but in private, discreetly as well. How safe is that facility, and how much longer can that facility go? Because the people with Beyond Nuclear and other activists say Palisades has got to go, and right now the NRC is saying it's okay.
Well, if it was unsafe, it would be shut down, as it should be. So the NRC is there to make sure that it operates in a safe way every day. They have the ability to shut it down without any political consideration, that is for sure, if it veers off that track. Palisades has made some significant improvements over the last 2 years when they were downgraded a little bit, though still assured that it was safe. But let's face it, continued improvements need to continue. There are a number of deficiencies that we'd like to see improve that don't necessarily impact certainly the safety of the operation, but a number of things that can be done. I'm looking forward to the response by Entergy for the the letter of that was sent end of last week, within the next month or so, and we're going to make sure that it's run in a safe way and without quarter. And you know, we're going to be following up all along the way, and I'm sure that the NRC, which you'll remember when they did take a downgrade a couple years ago, the NRC announced that they would add lots of inspector time to make sure that, in fact, it would get back to where we all want it to be. Also, you know, the plant went into operation in the early 70s. Obviously, it was designed prior to that, and it's licensed to run for some time to come. But one of the things that will, during these shutdowns, plant outages, is in fact that inspectors are there checking the brutality of pipes and valves and a whole number of different things, and that those tests need to be positive ones for it to continue. So there's going to be a lot of study, not only on this facility, but frankly all 100 across the country, as to how long they can safely operate before, in fact, ultimately, they are shut down.
Would you want to hazard a guess as to, are we getting close to the point where Palisades has to, you know, the energy and the NRC has got to make some tough decisions about
well,
Palisades
I think,
yet?
There's a crucial test literally within the next 2 years or so that will determine just how strong those pipes are, particularly some of the steam pipes and everything else. And, you know, the scientists are going to make that decision, and the engineers, those that can actually predict how strong this facility is.
Fred Upton of St. Joseph, the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. We are unfortunately out of time for our conversation this week, but certainly a very enlightening, not only on energy issues overall, but also on the situation involving the two nuclear plants along the lakeshore. We wish you and your family well this coming week, and I look forward to chatting with you again next Tuesday.
You bet.